Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Continuing in God's holy word, as we have it by Paul to the Colossians. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Also, dealing with the children, to obey the parents. But I'd like to read today from First Peter chapter 3. Peter also was inspired to write on the same subject. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be with the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and be not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be courteous, not rendering evil, not railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. What a good way God gives us. Let's give thanks for it, and pray that we'll hear it and do it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, the one who was equal with thee, counted it not wrong to be so, but took on him the form of a man, humbling himself, being mocked and ridiculed, being then crucified, refused here on earth, but rising again showing himself, teaching the apostles, opening their hearts to receive the word, giving the promises of thy Spirit. And we pray, Father, for that Spirit to be given now because of Christ, that we might be taught as the apostles were, and that we might also then teach others, being one, as thou, Lord Jesus, did pray that they might be one, even as thou and the Father art one, basically praying for us who have heard the word of the apostles, and as thou hast described it, Lord Jesus, who have heard their word. But also we pray that homes will be made one, that our nation again can be made one through good homes, right homes, homes that have been reconciled with thee and with each other that are broken. We pray that there might be a reversal of what has happened through these recent years, getting worse and worse. We pray, Father, for other needs as well. We pray for those suffering, homeless, hungry, persecuted, war-torn lands, all the calamities that are there, the women that are part of being taken captive, often sex slaves, seeing their children being taught to kill and to murder as their husbands were killed. We pray especially for that lot. We pray for those in hunger that are starving. We pray, Father, again, especially for the persecuted, that they may know thy word to be true. And thou hast said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I also hear thy word when thou hast said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We give thanks for the freedom that we have, but we pray it may not be as we are in an easy life, because we are not living godly for the rest of society. Teach us and turn us, revive us through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, this teaching, very important, so important that Christ likens it to himself and the church, as we saw in previous times, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and stating, chapter 5, verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We see how close husbands and wives are to what Christ is to the church and the church to him. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. The church must be subject to Christ, wives subject to their husbands. That's quite different than in our world today. When I think of much of what was stated in the last election, that women wanted a greater place and hoped to get a woman to be president. And as one man said, they already are in the place of power and leadership without having such a one as president. And we can be thankful that God didn't give us that one who wanted power to kill the unborn much more than is already being done. Not a reversal of it, but adding to it such wickedness. Just think of everyone that sided with that person is joining with a murderer. And if you are one, you are guilty. Guilty, as God said of those that agree with others in other crimes, thou shalt not murder, is his word. And we cannot expect to have loving homes if we think we have a right to kill the unborn. It's a sign of the hardness of the heart. And as Christ said, when the Pharisees asked, why did then Moses give a bill of divorcement? He said it was for the hardness of your heart. We have waxed worse and worse in that. Coming to, as we mentioned last week, no-fault divorce, easy divorce. Some even speaking of it, having it in some states as driving through. You can just go by an office in your car and get that terrible, terrible way. Two ways that are awful, both forbidden by God. Thou shalt not murder. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. We have both in Ephesians and Colossians, as we have been studying there, the command, husbands and wives. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. We'll read much the same as we read, but God gives it over and over and over because it's needed. God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. We read in the book of Job. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord of you. It's in him that you live and move and have your being. You were known of him before you were formed in your mother's womb. It's appointed unto man once to die, and that's you and me as well as others. You want live an hour longer, not a minute longer, than God has appointed. And then you will find out, if you have not found it out before, that he is the judge. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment by the Lord. The judgment by God, as sure as he judged Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who at one time said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He found out in the Red Sea, met his master, met his maker, met his Lord. And what a terrible way. Pursuing those that God was delivering out of his hand. Doing what Satan wanted him to do. And all those that continue in that way are doing what Satan wants. As Christ said to some, recorded in John chapter 8, even after being described as hearing these words and believing on him. Later he said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And we're doing it in our homes. The work of the devil. Disobedience to God is the work of the devil. Yes, we're trying to take it lighter. And as I read, and I may have referred to it last week, I'm not sure, so I read it since then, they're having celebrations. Not just honeymoons, but divorce moon. Calling it a time to rejoice. Supposedly, coming out of the marriage easier than sometimes. A lot of fighting, a lot of strife, which certainly would be good in itself. divorce doesn't have to take place. It shouldn't take place. And again, as we read of it, especially the command as Christ spoke of it, Moses gave it, God gave it first, what he joined together, let not man put asunder. And then we have it forbidden very plainly by God inspiring Paul to write 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We read, let not the wife leave her husband. Let her not depart from her husband. Very plain. Also, let not the husband put away his wife. So plain. No room for it. Nothing else to be heard except it be a lie. A lie from Satan. A lie from the murderer. Yes, it actually does at times lead to murder. Self-murder. I heard the news commentator, The Stone, talking about parents speaking evil one of another, telling the children the other person wasn't good, criticizing them, wives of their husband before the children, husbands concerning their wives before their children. He said how terrible that was, and it is. And speaking of murder, great number in the broken homes take their own lives, four times as many as in the homes that are together and are as they should be, loving one another, wives submitting, husbands loving, much less of taking their own life there. There has been much writing in our local paper about people that are mentally weak and incompetent, taking their own life, not wanting to live any longer. And certainly that does take place. But in all of it, there's probably much more of frustration with life. And frustration, especially when the home is not right. When the home is broken and they are not doing what they should be in the home. Husbands not loving the wife. Wives not submitting. Strife. Trouble. Yes. Contrary to God's word. Contrary to the good of everyone involved. Everyone. Sadness for parents, grandparents particularly, their children have a broken home. Others, it should be a sadness in the church. Sadly, as I've mentioned before, there are churches that are part of the guilt, allowing it, some even promoting it. Another one said, I'm counseling him to get a divorce. Terrible. Trying to make a way of permission. They can do it from some confessions, but not confessions that are according to the Word of God. We don't find it. Only one way, except for fornication, as Joseph was going to deal with Mary. That is fornication. He, planning on marrying her, but then finding her pregnant, knew that it was the law of Moses to allow that, and that's what Christ gave. We add to it, if a woman leaves the home, desertion, but that's not in Scripture. We add to it adultery, but again, that is not in Scripture. The word fornication is used, and we can have, as I said before, bears repeating. The word used many times in the same verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If they mean the same, why did God give to Paul by the Holy Spirit the word fornication and adulterers in the same verse? They evidently are two different words meaning two different things. I read in a book some time ago of what was called Calvin's folly. Calvin said they killed the adulterers in the Old Testament, so in our New Testament times we can reckon them as dead. I don't think that's very good exegesis of Scripture. I think what one said, Calvin's folly, is closer to the truth than what Calvin said, allowing that, reckoning them as dead. In that way, getting around what Paul ended that seventh chapter with, stating that the woman is bound by the law of her husband as long as he lives. Not as long as he is innocent, but as long as he lives. And Paul used the same illustration, using it as an example, in Romans chapter 7, where he likens us to be free from the law after we're in Christ, and then using that as an example in the 7th chapter, says that as the wife is bound by the husband, as long as he liveth, so are we concerning the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman with hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. That's quite a stretch of truth. If you want to say, well, in the Old Testament, they killed those, so you should just figure him dead. What if the woman would say they killed him in the Old Testament? I have a right to kill. And that's what we are saying in abortion. We have a right to kill because government said so. The Supreme Court said so. And sadly, they basically said it because the people want it. We want to be murderers. We want to elect murderers. I've read the party that is most for permitting abortion is waxing worse and worse, wanting it more and more. As I said, one who wanted to be our president wanted abortion right up to the time of birth, killing those that could be born alive. It's an awful thing. Yes, we have awful things happening in our schools. There are those dying. 17, some time ago. How long does it take for 17 babies to be aborted? Every few minutes. Again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and nobody says anything. To the point of being 2,000 and 3,000 every day. And when our politicians write, survey, we want to know what you're thinking, most of them don't even include it. Abortion is not the issue. There are parties that have a very good platform stating how they are against abortion, and then allow hypocrites to stand on that platform that vote the wrong way in Congress. How we need to pray for our homes, for our husbands and wives. And it all stands and falls together. We are living in those perilous times when men will be lovers of their own selves. That's why husbands don't love wives. They're lovers of their own self. That's why wives don't submit to their husbands. They're lovers of their own selves. That's why they want to kill the unborn. They're lovers of their own selves. They want to protect their honor. But they're not doing it. Why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. When that's gone, society is going and will soon be gone. If we don't return to having a fear of God before our eyes, God may wipe us out. He hates putting away. He hates it when husbands don't love their wives and want to be rid of them. He hates it when wives don't want to submit to their husbands and don't want to be yoked to them, no longer married. And what are you doing for your children if you are one of them? What is the church doing for the next generation if they are allowing this to take place? Terrible. Frustrated children. Sad children. Once again, we have the answer in two ways. First of all, Christ had to die so we could be forgiven. But he rose again so we could be changed. and we could come back to having a hope of doing what God created us for. Love. 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 Love to God. Love to our neighbor. Love to our husbands for wives. Love to wives for husbands. As I mentioned before, my wife passed away 2 months ago. I can't show her love anymore. I can wish I had done more. But of course, it can only be done in life. It can only be done when we're together. It can only be done before the judgment day. Yes, Christ died and rose again. Listen to the command that we should heed if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's his direction describing love. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Yes, endureth all things. More love, more patience. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Without love, as the first part of the chapter tells us, speaking is like sounding brass. Giving gifts is nothing. Bestowing all our goods to feed the poor, it is profiting me nothing. If we have faith and say, I have faith, can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing but a sinner. No love, all sin. Love endureth all things. Endures submitting to God's word first of all, both husbands and wives. And then what follows, children, obey your parents. Or as in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land in which we live. How long is it going to be in our land before judgment will fall, as it has on other nations, as it did on Judah and Israel years past? An example to us, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Are you ready for that?
Think again of the words, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. If we know our sin, we'll want that. We'll want to hear that story, most precious.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.